And you know,
are you going to bring the fences in like every other baseball team?
No. I can't do that. I can't do that.
We're hitting with wood
and we're hitting the ball out. We probably have more home runs. We have the top two hitters in the league. Casey Turner and Brett Williams. Yeah. I'm tired, Brett. I'm sorry about that, buddy. I was having dinner at Vienna Inn with Brett. Rodney Dangerfield says hello. The thing that I do want to share with everybody about summer baseball is that it really is a lot of fun for the kids. We don't charge admission for our games. Now, a lot of the teams charge like $5 for adults, and kids are free. And we may do that eventually, but, you know.
So you're saying I should shave and get in free?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're telling me?
You might not have to shave. Just wear a hat, because when they see that your receding hairline, they'll know you're 30.
It's not a receding hairline. I like to call it the Dana Holgorsen haircut.
It is.
God bless me with this hairline.
It looks exactly like his hair.
It is. It's a beautiful thing.
Hey, listen, I also want to give Stony Brook, Stony Brook University, a big kudos to them for making it to the College World Series. You know, they weren't even a Division I program 10 years ago, and they went through Division III, then II, then became a Division I program. And there's just so many great stories about Stony Brook. And, you know, they play today, and if they get beat today, they're done.
Yeah.
But you know what? Who cares?
It's a good story.
They were a super regional seed, and they won it. They beat everybody that was supposed to beat them. And
that's always good to see, especially in when you look at football. Something like that will never happen. Without the current playoff system, they are starting to throw it around. They're starting to talk about it, but
football is BS, as we say in the business.
They're a couple steps behind.
Have you seen the talks they're having about their quote-unquote playoffs?
Yeah.
It's all about conferences. Yeah. The top eight teams aren't going to be the winners of those conferences. Mm-hmm. You might have four teams in one conference that need to be in the playoffs. And until they let somebody with an IQ over 100 help decide who's in the playoffs for college, as opposed to the presidents of the university and the athletic directors. And I think we can both say those guys probably, if they're lucky, have an IQ of 100.
Except Mr. Luck. Well, Oliver Luck, I love you. You're doing a great job at WVU. But everybody else can
shove it. And his son's going to be doing a good job in Indianapolis this year.
Can you tell him we're at the college?
You can say, listen, you can say, yeah, well, you got to get off of that Homer crap.
I was just there.
I don't feed ECU too much. Although I think our football team has a long way to go to be West Virginia right now. I mean, we beat them like 4 years ago, and now I don't think we
still
can
holding on to that. Huh?
I don't even think we could play with them right now.
No, absolutely not.
I think we'd lose by 20 to 30 points minimum.
Well, you saw what we did to Clemson.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like your big brother.
But listen, with all and we're getting on football here, which we love to do.
We do that.
And let me tell you something. There's
I
a
feel
lot,
like we do that every show. With
yeah,
like,
but
football.
Yeah, but you got to understand football. That football, even though baseball is our quote unquote national pastime,
football's infectious.
Football is the deal, especially college football. And the pros. That's how I made my name in sports, was by being a really good handicapper. Do we have a phone call?
Well, we have a voicemail message.
That's
I guess.
Great. What was the voicemail message, Matt?
It's about football, since we're segueing into it, and it's about the Redskins, I guess.
Right, you're making me talk with a bad mouth here. All right. Edwin Miles asks, "What is the Redskins' plan for the 2012 season with regards to their offensive line? They have little cash with their impending fine, and I find that hard to believe that they have little cash ever."
Yeah.
And it seems they can't embarrass themselves after finally acquiring a decent prospect at quarterback. What's your take? Send on the Sprint Now Network.
They can't.
That was a very intelligent question, and I'm going to answer. I'm going to start it, and you throw it in.
Yeah.
You throw in your nickel too, Roy, but or quarter, whatever. But the thing I see the Redskins doing is what they've done literally since the Hogs in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s. You know, late 80s, early 90s, we haven't had an offensive line to speak of that we were real proud of. Guys that got, you know, Chris Samuels, I want to say he was a number two draft choice or number four draft choice 1 year. We were going to take Peter Warwick. I told this story once before. I called that goofball Vinny Serrato, who's not a goofball, actually. He's not the kind of guy you want to have an office at your, in your, for your pro football team.
He's an idiot.
But he's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
Okay. But You know, and you can, if you want to listen to Vinny, he's on in Baltimore.
Yeah.
On a station there.
Which is great. I love listening to you, Vinny. You suck.
But, geez, Roy, you know, you'll learn when you get my age, you don't ever burn bridges. But let me just say, they were going to draft Peter Warwick. All right, everybody, raise your hands out there. How many lifetime career receptions does Peter Warwick have? I want you to look that up, Roy. How many lifetime receptions does Peter Warwick have? He was actually, I want to say Peter Warwick was number two in the Heisman Trophy running, and he might have even won the Heisman. And I want to say it was back in 1997 or 8 when Chris Samuels was drafted by the Redskins.
That was the Chris Sam or the Redskins had two first round picks that year. I want to say we had the two, or they had the two and the three pick, and it was Chris Samuels. And I want to say LeVar came out that year.
No, it wasn't. LeVar actually came out before him, and we didn't have two picks. We had two picks, but we traded up to get Chris Samuels.
Okay.
But Vinny almost took Peter Warwick. If we had taken Peter Warwick instead of Chris Samuels, Chris Samuels made the Pro Bowl every year. Chris Samuels will be in the Redskin Hall of Fame. Chris Samuels had to end his career because he had a spinal problem.
Warwick was drafted in 2000, and as of 2005, which was the last year that he
was drafted by the Bengals.
Yes, and the last year that he actually
every year for a while.
The last year that he actually played. As of 2005, he had 275 receptions, 2,991 receiving yards, 18 touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's a guy that was a first-round draft choice. Peter Warwick is out of
football. He went fourth overall.
He's out of football, though. He hasn't played since the late 2000s. And Peter Warwick's probably 35. He's not that old.
And I was right. The Redskins did have two picks.
All right, who were their picks?
LeVar Arrington at two and Chris Samuels at three.
Wow. Well, you know what? Good thing they took Arrington and Samuels.
Yeah. And then Peter Warwick went number four right behind Chris Samuels to the Bengals.
Now, listen. And that was a terrible pick by the Brown family, but they made so many terrible picks in Cincinnati for so long. Mm-hmm. They really did. Think about Cincinnati, how bad they've been. They're going to be better this year, Roy, than they've been in a long time. Cincinnati, because Pittsburgh's rebuilding.
Yep.
The Ravens are—they're going to be okay. They're going to win 10 or 11 games, but they've got problems, personnel problems. Wouldn't you agree? The Ravens,
they
do.
Yeah,
they do. They have injuries too.
And Suggs
they lost their
coming
best
off that injury,
defensive
so.
Player. They lost their best defensive player. I got some information. This is very important. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. I got Roy G next to me. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is AM 1230 WFAS.
Father of mine, tell me where have you been? You know I just closed my eyes, my whole world disappeared.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. And we were talking about this before the show, how Father's Day songs, there's not really any father songs. We have to play something like that where I wouldn't really call that a that's kind of a sad story, sad song.
We need to think about that.
We should write let's do that. Let's write a happy Father's Day song, and it'll go viral. It will.
Like I have enough time. I got to get some sleep sooner or later.
Well, if you want to join
I'm this- getting so involved on my Facebook page. I'm getting so involved with, you know, all the little blogs I'm writing. Hey, you know what? I want to give kudos to this team, the Stony Brook team. And I'm sitting here on the Stony Brook Seawolves. What a great name. Stony Brook Seawolves page. And I just want everybody to listen to these amazing statistics that these guys came up with this year. I'm sitting here looking at their schedule. They had a tough schedule. I mean, their conference is pretty easy for them. They're much better than most of the teams in their conference. But you know, they started the season out with four wins, And then they went to East Carolina, which is my alma mater.
Yeah.
And East Carolina historically goes to the NCAAs every year. They made it this year, but they really probably didn't deserve to make it. Mm-hmm. They kind of went on past performance. They might have made it off this three-game series that they swept Stony Brook in. East Carolina beat Stony Brook March 2nd, 1-0. They beat Stony Brook March 3rd, 2-1. And they beat Stony Brook March 4th, 4-3. But after that, Stony Brook got it in gear. Listen to this record. Their overall record as of right now, 52 wins, 14 losses. I'm pretty sure that 52 wins is near the top all time of wins.
That's not bad.
No, that's unbelievable. Their conference record at Stony Brook's 21-3. That smokes. Their home record is 22-1. On the road, they were 24-10. Neutral site, 6-3. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, where do you hear these stats from these players? Now, their best player is a kid who everybody thinks a lot of, Travis Jankowski. Mm-hmm. You know, during the season, and I don't know how accurate this is because I don't know if they've kept the stats through the playoffs. I assume they have. Travis hit 416 in 65 games. So that would be – it doesn't include
no.
the play. It doesn't include the College World Series.
Right.
He stole 36 bases out of 42 attempts. These are the numbers I love. 18 doubles, 13 triples. You know, he's not a big bomber. He hit five home runs. 46 RBIs in 65 games. This kid scored 78 runs. He had 24 walks. He was hit by a pitch 8 times, 22 strikeouts. I'm a big walk strikeout ratio guy. I'm absolutely a coach. The first stat I always look at are walks and strikeouts. He's over 1. 24 walks, 22 strikeouts. His OBA in that tough of competition, almost 500, 478. That's incredible. And, oh, by the way, in 65 games, this slug of a player made one hole error.
One error.
One error all year. He is a freaking stud. Now,
He 44th overall.
Yep.
To the San Diego Padres.
Now, he only had 2 assists, so my guess is Travis probably was a designated hitter a lot because he probably didn't play a lot in the field. But he's a tough kid. A kid named Carmona, 393 average. Listen to these stats. 25 doubles, 7 triples, 12 home runs, 690 slugging percentage. Anything over 6 is monster.
690, that's up near the
near 7. That's near Babe Ruth numbers.
You're reaching I'm disgusting.
35 walks, 38 strikeouts, 7 stolen bases. This guy's a stud. He's an infielder. Probably a third baseman. You know, I'm not even looking. 123 assists, 15 errors, probably a third baseman. Definitely not an outfielder, too many errors.
Either that or he can't catch.
They have a kid named Tissenbaum. 391 average, 20 doubles, 1 triple, 3 home runs, 521 slugging percentage, 453. They had 5 guys with over a 400 OBA. This is a team that scored a lot of runs. A lot of runs. Let me just look at their totals. This is sick. Absolutely sick. 469 runs Stony Brook scored. You know what their team batting average was, Roy? 333. That was their average.
It's a decent day at the park.
Listen, they're scoring about 8 runs a game. Guess how many they were giving up?
2.
Yeah, no, 236 opponent average. Average. 229 runs in 65 games. 3.5 runs. Their pitching is stacked, too. I just hope they've got some guys coming back. Oh, and here you go. They got 5 guys under with a 3.09 ERA or less. They got a sick pitcher here named Vendurka. He only started 6 games. He was probably a spot relief pitcher. 20 appearances. He had 5 saves. He did a little bit of everything. Listen to these numbers. Now, if this kid was not a junior, he didn't get drafted. But if he was a junior or a senior, my guess is he did get drafted. 64 2/3 innings, 38 hits, 17 earned runs. You know, his batter against average, 174. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here was a guy, they're leading the guy that had the most wins for them, kid named Johnson. 100 innings pitched, 90 hits, 251 against average. You know what? If you pitch for these guys, you can have a 5 ERA and you're going to win 10 games. Hey, congratulations, Stony Brook. And listen, they got whipped the other night.
Who are they playing?
I think UCLA beat them pretty bad. Or it was either them or Florida State. But they play an elimination game today, later today. You got to watch them. You got to root for them. I really thought they had a chance at the College World Series to do something. You know, it's looking like you're really under the 8-ball when you lose your first game. And because you got to play every day, at least one game.
Who's your favorite going through?
Florida.
Florida's your favorite.
I like Florida, and most people in the country like UCLA. I don't like any team on the West Coast because I don't think they play enough quality teams. Yeah. Most of the quality in the country, and a lot of people from California will argue. Arizona, they'll argue, because Arizona State and Arizona are tough. You know, Arizona State had an off year this year. Arizona's in the College World Series. They're one of the 8 teams in it. You know, South Carolina came back last night. I'm pretty sure they won. I fell asleep before the end of the game. They're tough. Any SEC school is tough.
Yeah, SEC's big. Any Southern school, I mean, they play baseball
Florida
nonstop
State,
down there.
Yeah, Florida State, ACC has been incredible. Virginia, Florida State, Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these teams are amazing. So you know, the College World Series right now, in my opinion, one of the must-sees. If you're a baseball fan, make sure you at least tape those games so you can watch them later on. Because they're very exciting. And even though they're hitting with BB cores, where, you know, the production with these metal bats this year are down 20 to 30%, they're still smoking them out of there. The hitters in college, the pitchers in college, are stronger, bigger, quicker, more talented, more athletic. And these kids are amazing. And I really don't like what Major League Baseball did with the draft this year. They took 10 rounds out of the draft.
Yeah.
I think we need more baseball, not less baseball. And
Well, I mean, taking 10 rounds out moved it from, what, 50 rounds to 40 rounds?
Yeah, but that cost a lot of really good outfielders who are seniors in college and juniors in college. It cost them a chance to sign and fulfill their dream. And Major League Baseball, if you're listening to me, I don't know what the reason was, but to hell with your reason. Just have more baseball.
Do you think that those players are going to get picked up, signing some sort
I
of
I think a lot of them are going to play.
Contract?
I think, look, I made a call this week to my favorite independent league team, the Rockland Boulders, and spoke with a gentleman up there, sent some information on a guy by the name of Jake Morley, who I thought should have been drafted. You know, kid had 3 great years at VMI, 6'1", 190. He's got forearms like Popeye. He hit 11 bombs, 15 doubles, 4 triples, had an OBA of 400 on a team that had nobody behind him and nobody in front of him. And he still had a great year. Great defensive player. Played for me for 2 years in the summer. He can play at the A-ball, double-A level right now. And he could have probably last year, too. I like Jake. And there was a kid named Cole McInturf, who I coached, who was at James Madison University, who a couple of teams said would go before the 20th round. Never got drafted. But he's a junior, and he has next year.
Yeah.
And I really think that there was a run on pitchers for whatever reason. If you notice, everybody's trying to pattern themselves after the San Francisco Giants. Because the Giants, every year, haven't had the greatest hitting in the world. As a matter of fact, they've had some pretty lousy hitting and lousy run production for a long time. But they've always been in the top 1, 2, or 3 in Major League Baseball in average against and earned run average, team earned run average. And now the Pittsburgh Pirates They were in first place for a week. Mm-hmm. You know, they've lost three or four in a row now, but they have a great pitching staff. They're built, and the Pirates were one of those teams that were interested in my guys. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But Stony Brook University, man, Travis Jankowski, 44th player picked in the draft. Went in the supplemental round, which they call the in-between round. Call it anything you want. But this kid's going to be a stud. He'll be in high A probably almost immediately. Maybe low A.
Yeah.
He'll probably go to a short season because he's played so much. But if his arm isn't bothering him, he may even sneak into high A, may even go to Arizona fall ball when that's over. And then that's kind of the trip to high A your first year. And if you go to high A ball, you'll be in double A the next year if you're good. And you're only one phone call away, buddy, when you're in double A and you're 22, 23 years old. And I love that. We're going to talk about baseball pretty soon. But, Roy, let's talk NBA basketball, because this is your baby. And I let me tell you something. I started watching that game the other night. I couldn't turn it off.
Yeah, it was a great game.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
For an NBA game, and everybody knows that's not at the top of my list. Hey, they got me hooked for this series because they were flying up and down that court. And I got to tell you something. LeBron James is playing his butt off.
And he silenced the haters out there for another game.
Yes, he did. And he deserved, kudos to this guy.
They're still finding ways to attack him.
That last day. It's the media.
They've created a monster in LeBron James with the whole, and it all goes back to the decision. Really.
Yeah, he left Cleveland. Hey, I got news for you. People have made jokes about the city of Cleveland for 200 years.
Yeah.
Get over it. He just wanted to go somewhere different. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go somewhere where it would be a new challenge, where he could actually have two or three guys around him that can play basketball the way he plays. And they do. Now, you know, the big guy that got hurt all year, what's his name?
Chris Bosh.
I'm a big fan. I don't profess to be an expert at the NBA, but that guy's been the difference.
Yes,
he's been the difference.
Yep. And Chris Bosh's absence was the reason why they had the collapse in the Indiana series, where a lot of people were saying that the Pacers actually stood a chance in that series simply because Chris Bosh was gone. So if you want to join this conversation, follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Twitter, hashtag BH Sports, Facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports. Give us a call, 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. We'll be back on the other side.
Look at me. I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on.
We're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, a special Father's Day edition of Bruce Hall.
Happy Father's Day. Listen, fathers don't get enough cred. Sorry. We don't. You know what?
It's all about the moms.
Hey,
look, so you know.
I saw 50 things yesterday, and I meant to bring it in. I was going to print it out. I was going to send it out. It was 50 things that men do that women can't do. It was freaking hilarious. It was the best thing. One of them is, the one thing that men can do is we can get the damn tops off jars, baby.
Yeah,
hey, that's
okay.
All. Hey, if my wife didn't need me to take the tops off of jars, I don't even know
what
if we'd be
married.
What does
that have to say about technology, though?
Somebody,
is like the head of the jar opening industry is definitely a guy, and he knows. He's like, we can't fix anything.
I think it has.
We can't create anything that will take the
jars
off.
You know what it has to do with?
We'll be in trouble.
No, let me tell you what it has to do with, because you've lived through this and probably didn't see any of it. Safety. They got to make it so it's almost impossible to take off, or some idiots out there will take them off, put crap in it, and then tighten them back up.
They have.
The guy's like, oh, all you need is this.
Yeah. Boom!
That's not the only
Nobody
thing.
Else try and solve the jar
hey, and we do,
opening.
Hey, we do lift some we do lift some heavy stuff too from time to time. And my wife, even though I'm only 6 feet tall and probably not even 6 feet tall anymore, I can get a lot higher than my 5'8", 5'9" wife.
Yeah.
Because I have good extension and I can get up on my tiptoes. And I've learned how to use my digits very strongly. If my wife does that, her back hurts for a week. She goes to the chiropractor. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
That's pretty much all I do, though, is open jars.
You know what? That's all we're asked to do. I don't even mow the grass anymore because I don't do a good enough job of that because I don't trim. I got your trim right here, baby. You're listening to Bruce Hall. Roy Edwards. Roy, let's talk basketball quick.
Yes, sir.
All right. Talk to me about who's – now, we both picked Oklahoma City to win.
Mm-hmm.
Back in when? March?
February. Was it February?
February.
February
19th.
I believe it was February 19th.
February 19th. We both picked Okie City to beat Miami in the finals.
Yeah.
And that still may happen. But today, Miami is a 3.5 to about a 5-point favorite, depending on where you get the bet.
Where you're looking.
What do you think, Roy?
The big thing for me here is the start of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, if you take a look at game two, the point spread, Miami Heat only won one quarter, and it was the first quarter. They won it 27-15, which is a huge gap. That's something that cannot happen, especially in the NBA Finals. When you're playing against a team like the Miami Heat, who has so much talent, you're really digging yourself into a hole when you come out so flat. The rest of the game looked like this, 28-28 apiece in the second quarter. The third quarter, Oklahoma City won it 24-23, and then the fourth quarter, 29-22 in favor of Oklahoma City. So they came on, and it's all about the start. Now, they've been tossing around things, mainly in the media, about James Harden starting, who is their sixth. He was sixth man of the year. He had 21 points, 4 rebounds last game.
You know, the beard doesn't do him right. He looks older with that beard, and he reminds me of a guy. There was another guy like that. Oh, you know what his name was? Phil Jackson. And we're going to talk about him later.
We are going to talk a little about Phil.
But the beard, it fools me. But you like Harden, don't you?
I love Harden. And
he rebounds. He runs the floor. He can shoot.
And I don't – to answer the question –
He looks like a football player.
Yeah, he does. To answer the question everybody's talking about is, should they start James Harden? And my answer is absolutely not. You don't start that guy. You don't want to –
That's like starting John Havlicek.
You don't
want to mix
up.
You know, the Celtics did that way back, and that didn't work.
No, it's not – you don't want to mess with your starting five. You don't want to mess with the roles of anyone he would come in and take – a place that he would take. You don't want to do that. I mean, look at the Spurs. When the Spurs lost a couple – you know, when Oklahoma City was starting to come back, they started to – they started Ginobili. That he had a beast that he had a beast.
He
game.
Did a great job off the bench this
he
year.
He had a beast out game, but the Spurs still lost, and it messed up with that chemistry. They didn't mesh very well, and I feel like there's not that much broken here with Oklahoma City. I don't think it's that at all. You have to give the credit here to Miami. Was there a foul at the end of the end of game two with LeBron on Durant?
They're not going to call that.
Maybe. But you can't put yourself in that position in the first place. If you come out strong in the first quarter, then you don't have to worry about the final moments of the game and a ticky-tack foul like that. If you play like you played in the fourth quarter and the first quarter, then you're sitting in a completely different position, and LeBron James doesn't seal the game there with those two free throws, maybe. Now, he went 12-for-12 on the day. So I feel like the answer or the question is LeBron James clutch? I feel like he's answering it right in front of our eyes this finals series. This was the first time in his career that he scored over 25 points in the NBA Finals when he was at Cleveland. He didn't do so well against the Spurs. But, I mean,
how many minutes did Harden get? Did he get like 40 minutes or does he get fewer than those?
I don't have Harden's minutes written down. He gets somewhere around 28, 30.
What will we do without Matt? Matt is the best producer in the friggin' world. I'm sitting over here. I have a new computer, by the way. It's my third one in like 3 months. Hello? My computer stopped working. Hey, Harden, let me ask you a question about him.
Mm-hmm.
Who does he match up on usually when the starters are in the game for Miami?
Well,
does he line up on LeBron?
No, LeBron is usually Durant. I mean, Harden moves
is that
around.
Taken away from Durant's offense?
No,
you don't think?
No, I mean these guys go at it all the time. I mean Durant and James. I mean there's a lot of different match. I mean that's the thing with Oklahoma City is they're so diverse and they're so young that they can move around to really guard anybody. I mean Harden, you'll see Harden on Wade. You might see Harden on James every once in a while. You'll see him on Battier. You might even see him on Chalmers. But I feel like Oklahoma City, they're so deep,
right?
And they have so many weapons both on the offensive side and the defensive side that these matchups that we see, they're going to change. They're going to be able to change. Whereas Miami Heat don't have that luxury of changing their matchups. You're not going to see Chris Bosh on, Westbrook. That's not going to happen.
Where
Westbrook, you might see him on Wade. You might even see him in a switch take on Bosh. I mean, that's definitely a mismatch, but he's athletic enough, whereas I don't feel like Miami has that depth, whereas they can move around their matchups because you got the big three, and that's pretty much it.
I agree. Hey, Westbrook got off to kind of a slow start last game, and he played almost 42 minutes. But he had 27 points, but that's really not the true story of that game. He was only 10 for 26.
And Harden played 35 minutes.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing, too. He really there weren't a lot of turnovers. I mean, both teams played well, but I think it was more about Miami playing better. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, you can't take this victory. You can't take anything away from Miami. People want to say, oh, well, it was a Thunder starting slow.
No, no.
Absolutely,
no.
But the Heat started just as quickly as the Thunder started slowly.
LeBron perfect from the free throw line.
Yeah,
that didn't
12.
Hurt.
Yeah, I mean
that didn't hurt. I mean, when you don't miss a free throw, you're probably and you're the leading scorer in the league, one of the leading scorers in the league. That's a good sign. He had 32 points. Mm-hmm. He had 8 rebounds. Didn't block any shots. They played great team defense. I remember that's the thing I was so impressed with. And you know what they got away with a little bit? The referees in the fourth quarter started letting them play. And I'm going to tell you right now, they were banging Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one call, I'll never forget. It was like, I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Bosh, but it was Dwayne Wade, I think. Came up and really hit a guy when the ball came into him out on the perimeter. And it was a foul. There was no call. Then he hit him again, and then the guy countered and hit him, and the foul was called.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, you know what that is? Experience. That's experience because Dwayne Wade, no matter what you say about that guy, now he had one of the better shooting games he's had in a while, and that's 10 for 20.
He showed up. There was a lot of scrutiny, a lot of critics talking about Dwayne Wade, how he needed to show up, he needed to play better. He came out and said that he understands his role and that it's get it to James in the final minutes, and he caught a lot of heat for that, no pun intended. But
How about Chris Bosh?
Chris Bosh had a great game.
He had 15 rebounds.
I mean that was
the difference.
That's the story to me.
Don't you think that was the difference?
Absolutely.
His rebounding,
16 points, 15 boards. I mean, that's what you expect out of one of your big men. Big man, really, in Miami.
Yeah, they're not going to get a lot, Roy. Roy, do you think they're going to get anything out of their bench? Because that's a big question. Hey, Oklahoma City is deeper.
Absolutely.
Hands down, that's the truth.
I mean,
is that going to be end up being the difference in this series? Because you know what? They've been playing a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. They got 2 days off this time, which was huge for Miami. Because after what they did in the first quarter last week and holding on to win, that game still in the fourth quarter could have gone any way.
The Heat bench is they're not athletic. And if they're not athletic, they're old, like a Juwan Howard. And the only player on that bench that I really like him.
Miller.
But is
Haslam.
I like Haslam and Mike Miller is a spot-up shooter, but you can't play
Whatever
Miller.
Happened to Mike Miller?
You can't play him.
But whatever happened
against
to this guy? This guy used to shoot lights out. You remember?
Yeah. He's still a great shooter,
Didn't the Wizards have him for a very short period of time?
Yeah, the Wizards had him for a little bit.
Why did we get rid of the guy?
Because he's...
He's terrible.
He's not.
No defense.
Well, he's
he
he's,
sucks.
He's not a starter. He's a bench player. Which in this role with the Heat, he plays a great role. But you can't. This is exactly where he's limited, is you can't play him against a Thunder team because he creates matchups on the defensive side. He's slow.
Yeah.
He's not as athletic. He's a spot-up shooter. Whereas this Oklahoma City team, they're a run-and-gun sort of offense.
Well,
they don't have that spot-up shooter guy.
No.
They're going to attack
you. Well,
you
know who their spot-up shooter is? He's 6'11".
Yeah, exactly.
And he shoots from 30 feet and buries
he'll
it.
Shoot but he from
can't
wherever
do
he wants.
That. But it takes away from their rebounding mm-hmm. ability when he's on the perimeter,
yeah.
And in my opinion. Serge Ibaka didn't have a very good game either.
Serge Ibaka was
five
down.
He blocked five shots.
Kendrick Perkins played a very sloppy game. So,
all right, here we go.
That's my key there.
For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back on the other side.
If you want, you can marry. Look at me. I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it.
Here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion, talking about the NBA Finals and the Oklahoma City Thunder suffering their first home playoff loss of the season. They're 9-1 now at home in the playoffs.
So what you're saying is there's still a chance they might lose at home. Hey, listen, they like playing in Miami, evidently because they're home and they probably get more rest.
Mm-hmm. And they play in front of the best crowd.
That is a good
in
crowd.
The NBA. I mean, that crowd's in. That
well, you
crowd's
know what? People are Miami Heat season ticket holders. I've heard from other states they fly in to a private airport close by, and they just take a car over and watch the game, and they leave. Miami is a pretty cool place if you don't go there all the time. A lot of people live in. Dan Marino loves it. Ralph Stringer loves it. Everybody I know that lives in South Florida loves it. You know, why wouldn't the basketball team? But besides, didn't LeBron just pick the place out? That was where he wanted to go?
Yeah.
Did he go there for the coach?
Absolutely not.
He went there for the city.
He definitely didn't go there for Eric Spoelstra.
He went there for the ring, didn't he?
Yes.
He went there for
he
the ring.
He went there to play with his
Are
buddies.
Are they going to get the ring, Roy? We don't think so.
Well,
back on February 19th, what did we say?
We said it was gonna be Oklahoma City Thunder. Now
I'm not even nervous yet.
Now Miami goes home. They play tonight.
They need to win this game.
And they had the they were tied for the league's best home record with a 28-5 during the regular season. And through the first three rounds of the postseason, they had only lost two games at home. They had an 8-2 record. So very similar to the Oklahoma City Thunder, they just beast out at home.
It's kind of homey for them.
Now this is a big thing that I don't like. I know a lot of people don't like, and that's the NBA Finals changing their setup of the seven-game series. All through the playoffs, it was a
every other day
two,
almost. Yeah.
It went 2-2-1-1-1.
Right.
Now in the NBA Finals we get here, it goes 2-3-2-2. So Miami, it's 1-1 right now.
Yeah, they
Miami could close this out at home now. With three games in a row, if you're telling me you're playing three games in a row at home, wouldn't you look at that and you'd say advantage, underdog?
Is this the first year they've done that?
I
don't think it is, and I'll tell you. You know why I think they do it? I think they do it because by the time you get around to the finals, there's so much press, there's so much media, there's so much stuff that's being moved around because the finals. Let's face it. The NBA Finals is their showcase, along with the All-Star Game.
But wouldn't you want to stretch that out 1-1-1 instead of then you have
I would personally I would
exactly
I would but I got to tell you I see the other argument and I'll tell you why it does give those guys a chance to win it at home with a 1-1. Now you and I both know Oklahoma City put themselves in jeopardy when they lost a game at home.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
but I mean, is that your ideal series, though?
If they go to six, though, if they go to game six, Oklahoma City is looking good for me and you.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the downside. And I got to tell you something. Logistics play a very important part. I mean, tons and tons and tons of trucks, equipment, antennas, cable, everything in the world moves with these playoffs, just like the NFL playoffs. Mm-hmm. The NFL's different because it's, you know, the NFL is totally different because there's so many teams in the playoffs. In basketball, it goes by pretty quick. You know, it doesn't take that long to get it narrowed down to four teams. It really doesn't. It seems like in the NFL, you know, the regular season goes on forever. And then those last two or three games of the NFL season end up being the big, you know, that's a big deal.
Right, and they only play one game.
Right.
You know, it's on the weekend. You don't get those weekday games like in the NBA baseball or baseball.
Baseball is similar to basketball.
Yeah.
Because they can play a game, and then they can go out the next day and play another one if they
had
to.
Right.
Football, that ain't going to happen.
No, you're waiting a week.
Hey, because it's going to take you 5 days to heal if you're not practicing.
And then you get the two-week span in between the NFC-AFC championship games and the Super Bowl, whereas that's just press mania. And I feel like if you're the NBA and you want to get the most out of your big dance, you know, this is your championship week or week and a half, whatever it is, you want to stretch that out. And I feel like going to the 2-3-2, that condenses your series. Maybe you want to capitalize on the short attention span in viewers, you know, so you don't want to have
that
them
out
wait.
There. You were talking about the casual viewer.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm a casual viewer for the NBA.
Right.
Let me tell you something.
Would you mind waiting another day, though, to let him travel?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't care. And I tell you what, I'm glad they're playing on Sunday. I think that had a lot to do with it. Because Sunday they get a lot better numbers.
Absolutely.
If they had played Saturday night up against all that baseball, you know, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't even have turned it on. Mm-hmm. Now, today they're up against the U.S. Open. But the U.S. Open is generally, except for Tiger is still in it. The U.S. Open is generally kind of a upper middle class Caucasian viewership. It really is. But with these two teams playing, I'm gonna be flipping channels. As soon as my game's over 4 o'clock, my butt is gonna be in a damn recliner, 5 feet from a 60-inch television, going back and forth, because it's Father's Day, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm gonna be drinking coffee, Roy, so I don't fall asleep.
Yeah,
I fell asleep for. I fell
tonight
asleep. We're
going to
talk about Matt
asleep.
Cain's Perfecto later, because Matt Cain. I actually have if I can find it, I've got an interview with Matt, but I can't play because it's too long today. But the thing about it is that Father's Day, man. Happy Father's Day. For you people that are just tuning in, getting out of church, driving to a soccer game, a little league baseball practice that's illegal to practice on Sunday, but your coach is cheating and getting your kids together at an indoor facility somewhere on a Sunday on Father's Day, hey, happy Father's Day. And I'm dedicating this show to my father, Lonnie Denton Hall, who died, you know, when I was 10 years old, of a heart attack. He had a bad heart. You know, he was in the Navy. He was a chief petty officer. He was a squadron commander. What they did was in the Pacific, they fixed all the planes that were bombers, all the big B-52s, B-29s that were going out and bombing islands in the Pacific. And a lot of these guys never came back. You should see pictures I have of these planes that have huge planes that have holes in the sides of them and pictures of beautiful naked women on the sides of them, because that's what these guys. And I'm going to tell you, all these guys were kids except my dad. My dad was probably, you know, he was like 23, 24, 25 years old. Most of these guys look 17, 18, 19 years old. They were skinny as hell because Japanese cut the supply routes off for them in the Pacific. My dad said they ate orange marmalade and drank water for 6 weeks straight. A lot of those guys probably have diabetes now. None of them eat orange marmalade. I can count on that. But my father didn't graduate from high school, went into the Navy. They owned a farm and a general store in a little town called Alamo, Tennessee. And he provided for his younger siblings to go to college on a government paycheck. And I'm going to tell you, he was the greatest guy in the world. He had arterial sclerosis in his body because he had hardening of the arteries. And if you saw what we ate for dinner, and we ate so much ice cream, I mean good ice cream, Heinz ice cream, full of butterfat, that probably had a lot to do with it. But all of my father's brothers died before their 50th birthday, and my father died when he was 46. And he was mowing the grass because he was going fishing with his best friend, a guy named Preacher Hodges from, you know, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. And he fell off a lawnmower waving to the lady across the street who was a nurse. Mm-hmm. And he was dead before he hit the ground. And I got to tell you, that's what got me into sports, because my dad loved sports. My mother was a jock, big time. And after that, my mother, you know, had her demons. She never remarried. She drank a lot. And my coaches became my dads. And your dad, your dad's dad became one of my dads. And my friends were my brothers because I was an only child. Lonnie Hall, thank you very much for playing catch with me when your legs were pounding with pain, because he would play catch with me every night. And I was a pretty good baseball player when I got older. And he loved baseball. And he had a pretty good arm, but he couldn't stand up more than 10 minutes because he was in so much pain, because your legs start aching when the blood's not flowing through them correctly. Mm-hmm. And he'd have to sit down. He said, if you let me sit down for 5 minutes, I'll play catch with you. I said, Dad, let's go inside. He goes, no, we're going to play catch. You know, that's love, you know. Yeah. That I was his only child. I was his only boy. And he was a great man. Lonnie Denton Hall. All right, now you dedicate this damn show to your father, because I know your father. He's one of my best friends, and talk about him real quick.
He knows a little bit about sports.
Yeah, you think?
A little bit.
He's like me, except for he actually earns an honest living, too.
He was my coach growing up. He was my first coach. He's the reason I quit baseball. No, I'm just kidding, Dad.
Your dad was a good baseball player.
Yeah, he was a very good baseball player. He played at Ole Miss University as a cornerback and punt returner. So he was fast. I unfortunately didn't get that gene. And
he was pretty quick.
He was my coach growing up, pretty much every single sport. We were both quarterbacks. He raised two quarterbacks. My little brother was a quarterback too. And
he's a stud too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a point guard too. I feel like me and my brother made my dad look good. You know, he had the hell of a middle infield with me and my brother. But I'm just kidding, Dad, again. Sorry. No, he was a varsity baseball coach at Falls Church High School. He coached football at Falls Church, and he coached basketball as well. The guy's obsessed with sports, and the reason why I got into sports, really. He was hard on me growing up, and now I see and appreciate that. So all you guys who think that your dad's hard on you, he's doing it for a reason. And you'll learn
something. Life isn't fair.
Yeah, you'll learn
something. You got to be good at it.
You'll be grateful that your dad is hard on you now. Because when you enter the real world will be a lot harsher. So if you want to join this conversation, we're going to talk. On the other side, we're going to be talking about the best father-son combinations in sports. I know who my top five are, Bruce, so get to thinking about that.
Okay.
We're going to talk about some baseball. And we'll finish up on the NBA Finals a little bit. We'll say who we got in these next games coming up. If you want to join this conversation, it's 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. Reach us on Facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports or on Twitter, #BHSports, #BHSports.
Before we cut out, if you want to just tell us a story about your father in 2 minutes or less, give us a call.
Yeah.
It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, dads out there. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
Well, it came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then.
father song ever. Will Smith. Getting jiggy with it. Just let it ride.
If you have any requests, give us a call. Area code 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. We need requests because, honest God, there are no songs about dads. I mean, we don't get... I almost said a bad word. We don't get anything.
You know the best part about Will Smith is that it's all unedited, so you can just play it all. You can play his whole CD front to back. And
I beg the Lord, please. I like this song. Will Smith's bad. Now, Will Smith's going through a very painful... I don't mean to get off on something non-sports, but we don't talk just about sports on the station. We talk about life-changing situations. And Will Smith is a monster, but I got a feeling Will Smith is shaking his booty a little bit right now.
Wait, what?
Because he got rid of... Well, he and his wife are separated.
No, they're
not. Oh, I thought they separated. Oh, so he got...
You're reading the tabloids.
No, I'm just listening to TV.
Yeah.
It's well, TV.
There's a lot of rumors about
there's
him.
A lot of lies on TV, too.
TMZ or whatever it is.
Hey, real quick, let me just tell everybody. This is kind of important. Today, it's Father's Day. Hojo to sign autographs. Hojo is one of the mascots at where the Boulders play, the Rockland Boulders. It's going to be – actually, they won – I think they won last night. They won 3-2, beat Worcester. John Flaherty commemorative coin giveaway. Fireworks. They had fireworks last night. Today's the 17th, but kids and parents today, where the Boulders play in Rockland, get to play catch on the field after the game. How cool is that? That's going to be dads, mostly dads, some women – will be out there with their gloves. Some women are probably throw better than their husbands.
Hojo is Howard Johnson, Garrett Johnson's father.
Oh, I know Hojo. Howard Johnson used to be the hitting coach for the New York Mets. I guess he's not doing that gig anymore. But I got to tell you, the new hitting coach for the New York Mets is doing a hell of a job because they're hitting the ball. David Wright is still smoking. He got, by the way, there were 2-1 hitters yesterday. We're going to talk about baseball. Was there anything we left uncovered about the NBA? I don't think so.
Oh, we got to get a winner.
I'm taking Miami today. That's my play.
I'm staying with OKC. I think
you're
that,
a maniac.
I think that they're going to come out hungry.
You need a drug test.
I think they're going to come out hungry. I think Durant is going to come out flying. He was in foul trouble last game, which seemingly limited his minutes. He only got, 38 minutes, which was lower than LeBron, Westbrook, and Wade out of the big guys. And Durant is – he's the league scoring champ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best player on the Thunder. He's arguably the MVP of the league, although LeBron's starting to show why he was the MVP.
And they should win the series. They could win. Yeah. If they win today, they win in six.
And if the Thunder come out strong tonight, they're going to win the game. Now, the traveling, Miami's back at home.
Yeah.
They're coming off of a big win. I see the Miami play.
Yeah, but they've had three. Yeah, but that's
but
not,
this is exactly where the Thunder want to be. They want to be the underdog,
and they've had 3 days of rest.
They want to be the guy. They want to be the team who people are counting out. That's who they want to be. That's their identity. Is that come from behind? That underdog push. So I got OKC.
Hey, listen, real quick, write this number down if you have never been to see the Rockland Boulders. 845-364-0009. That's 845-364-0009. I'd love to say that the Boulders are a sponsor of ours, but they are because we're partners. We do the color and the play-by-play. There's a couple of guys that do a great job up there. It's a 2 o'clock game today. Once again, call and order some tickets. They're cheap. 845-364-0009. Bring your baseball gloves, dads, and kids, and play catch with Hojo after the game's over today. I'd love to see them win. You know, they got a pretty good ball club. I was looking at some of their stats, some of their players. I mean, they do a real good job. Let's talk, you know what? Let's talk Major League Baseball. You ready for this?
I think so.
We're gonna hammer out some stuff here. You know, right now the Yankees. I picked the. Remember when I picked the Yankees to win the American League before the season even started?
Mm-hmm.
Started getting a little nervous when I saw what everything else was going. But Yeah, but the Baltimore Orioles are not for real. Now, don't get me wrong. The Orioles could win 85, 90 games, and I know this is making you mad because you're kind of an Oriole fan.
I wouldn't say that.
But when you were a kid before we got a team back in Washington.
I was a Cubs fan growing up.
Were you really?
Yeah.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
You swear?
Unfortunately, I was a Cubs fan growing up. I mean, I wasn't a fanatic. I wouldn't call myself a Cubs fanatic, but I was a Cubs follower. I know. I mean, in sports, you always like the underdog
story.
There are
so many
Cubs fans.
And it
doesn't get any more underdog than the Chicago Cubs.
How long has it been? How long has it been since the Cubs
won a World Series?
1913, 1918?
A long time.
It's like almost 100 years.
A long time.
Oh, and that poor guy that, you know, they made, what was his name, Barfman?
Bartman. Steve Bartman. Where he
and you know what? There was no luck. He was even going to catch that ball. Moises Alou forever will be known for being a DI, you know what?
Yeah, he kind of freaked out
like,
though.
I don't like
that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And it wasn't like he was tearing the league up with his fielding.
There was an error in that game, too, that by the shortstop that nobody wants to talk about.
All right, how many career home runs did Yogi and Dale Berra have?
How many career errors?
No, home runs together.
Home runs.
407 career home runs for a father-son team.
That's okay.
Yogi and Dale Berra. Hey, anyway, the Yankees are putting it on my team, the Washington Nationals.
So do you want to talk
No, we're going to talk baseball.
Do you want to talk about the top five player-son combinations of all time?
We can do that.
Who are your top couple?
You know what? Let's do that right now before we get into baseball. Who are the top? Well, Yogi and Dale Berra are two of them. Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. They gotta be. What do you mean they're up there? They gotta be number one. Who's better than those two? Ken Griffey won a batting title in Cincinnati, and he also had, I think, two World Series rings, maybe three, two for sure. Kenny Griffey Jr. never won a World Series ring, but he never did steroids either, like all of his, you know, peers. Did. And he could have. Hey, he'd have hit another 150 bombs if he'd have done steroids. You know that? As big and strong as that kid was.
And he got hurt. And
he was always hurt. Yeah, he was. You know, he had a bad shoulder for a while. Tim Raines' son plays with the Orioles. At least he used to. He's not with the Orioles anymore. I don't even know where Tim Raines Jr. is now. Tampa Bay, you got two brothers. You got B.J. Upton in Tampa, and you got Justin in Arizona. They may very well end up being one of the top five or ten of brother combinations.
I have the Griffeys, Ken and Ken Jr., as number five on my list.
Do you really? Yeah. Who's number four for you?
Number four on my list is Ralph Earnhardt, Dale Earnhardt, and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Oh, you're not just doing baseball.
I'm doing everybody.
Well, you know what? The Earnhardts...
if you want to do baseball only, the baseball people on my list...
No. Let's do everybody.
I have the fielders...
You know what? The fielders would be pretty strong, but that's more of a power deal.
I have Felipe and Moises Alou, who you just talked about.
And they're not the only Alous, because Felipe had two brothers that played. He actually had three or four that played, but two played in the major leagues. Matty Alou and another Alou.
But yeah, I have the Earnhardts, because it's three generations there.
Yeah, you know what? That's true, because the old man was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was great.
Yep. You got anybody else, Roy?
You want to go to three? Number three
on your list.
This is a good one. This is a good one for New York here. And okay. and this is, you know, I feel kind of bad to put him at three. I might have to bump him up to two, but my three is Archie Manning, Peyton Manning, and Eli Manning.
Well, that's got to be number one. Why did you put him number three?
They're number three. On my list.
That's a dad and two sons.
I'm going to bump them to two.
Bump them to two.
And my three is Bobby Bonds, Barry Bonds.
Well, and they should have an asterisk next to their name.
They put up sick numbers.
I know they did. Let me tell you about Bobby Bonds. Bobby Bonds, in the 60s, when he started, took over for Willie Mays. He actually started playing with Mays. And Bobby Bonds...
You're going to hate my number one.
Bobby Bonds was the... I want to say Bobby Bonds was the first 30-30 guy ever.
Bobby Bonds was a three-time All-Star,
yep.
Three-time Gold Glove.
Smoked cigarettes, too.
He was the 1973 MLB All-Star Game MVP.
Right.
Known for his speed.
Never won an MVP.
He ended his career with a .268 batting average, 332 home runs. He batted in over 1,000 RBIs, 461 stolen bases. That's the dad. The Barry, the young boy, the young lad, 14-time All-Star, 8-time Gold Glover, 12-time Silver Slugger, 7-time NL MVP, 3-time NLA Hank Aaron Award winner, 96 Home Run Derby champion, holds the records for most home runs all time, 762, home runs in a season, 73, career walks, 2,558.
All right, that's enough, because it's
all... Do you know who Barry is?
It's all got an asterisk by it. You know what he is? He's a world-class jerk. I'm Bruce Hall, and this is very important, what I'm about to tell you.
You add the two together, 1,000 stolen bases, over 1,000.
We're going to go back over that, but as far as I'm concerned, Bobby Bonds is the man. Barry Bonds can kiss my behind. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership.
If you want to join the conversation on who you think is your number one father and child combinations of all time.
The Bonds were a good one, even without steroids.
Call us in 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports or on Twitter, BH Sports. We'll be right back. So cashing your dough and flow to this fashion show. Pound for pound anywhere you go. Yo, ain't no city in the world like this. And if you ask how I know, I got to plead the fifth. Miami. Party in the city where the heat is on. All night on the beach till the break of dawn. Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami. Bouncing in the club where the heat. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking about the top father-child combinations of all time in sports. I say child because of my number one. I don't want you guys to throw a fit. Because I say father-son, but it may, you know, we'll let it ride.
That's a violation right there. That's a violation of the damn rules.
So far, that in my top five here, I'll bring back up my top five here. Ken Griffey Jr.
Love
and
that
Ken
one.
Griffey.
Love that.
That's
one.
My number five. Number four, the Earnhardts, Ralph, Dale, and Dale Jr. Now, Dale Jr., he's yet to really win. He's not that winning name, but he's one of the most marketable names in NASCAR today. He has done a lot for the sport marketing-wise, and then you know the Intimidator and the original Dale, original Earnhardt Ralph was a beast. He was called the master
Ralph Cramden.
He was called Ralph Earnhardt. He was called a master car builder by racing historians, and he's a motorsport Hall of Famer.
I'm gonna knock you to the moon. Hey, you know, there's all kinds of things you could talk about. You could talk about TV dads and kids,
yeah,
which are, there's billions of those, and they're all pretend anyway. But there's some pretty good actors, dads and kids, boys and girls, the whole nine yards. But before we get to that, one thing that I do want to talk about just a little bit is this Yankee thing that's going on. We talked about it briefly. We're going to talk about it more now, but the Yankees are for real. Nova's going again today. He's on the road. I don't think he's lost on the road this year. I think he's undefeated on the road. For some reason, he pitches better outside of Yankee Stadium. You know, maybe it's that short porch in right field. I don't know. But I don't think that's been the difference. I'm not really sure why, you know, why all of that happens. But I like that kid. He is good. He's not the, you know, he did come out earlier and said that he's the best pitcher in the world when he started doing some stuff.
You got to love that. I'm now, the greatest.
I am the greatest.
Of course.
No,
you are.
You're the greatest.
He's 8-2 in the season with a 4.64 ERA. That's not bad, especially with the short porch. And then he's going up against Edwin Jackson from the Washington Nationals, 3-3 with a 3.02. Mr. No Decision this year for the Washington Nationals.
Well, listen, the Rangers, who will probably play in the American League Pennant Series against the Yankees sometime in October, late September, early October. I think it's early October. They're sliding a little bit. You know, their big stud, Josh Hamilton, was admitted to the hospital for a couple of days because he had an infection in his intestine and they're not really sure how he got it. It's probably foodborne. Hopefully it is. But they just haven't looked that good lately. They got off to an incredible start in the American League West. Still leading the West by 4 or 5 games. But you know what? I can see the Yankees beating them, because the Yankees, when I really saw it yesterday and the day before when they played Washington, they're just so strong offensively that they don't have to, you know, they can score 6, 7, 8 runs a game sometimes, and their pitching doesn't have to be like the Nats pitching has to be in the National League. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, the Nationals are, I want to say, second to last in the league with, was it runs scored?
Yeah,
they're pretty low down there on the offensive side, but and then they rank first, I believe, in pitching categories.
No, they do. But the but we're talking National American League here.
Right, exactly. But that's a true split of National American League. These two teams, it's a great example of the argument of pitching versus
hitting.
This
could be your World Series right here. It could be.
Yeah.
And that would be everybody's dream in Washington, because the Yankees have been to a few World Series.
A couple.
Nats, none, zero, ever, period.
When
Walter Johnson
rings.
Played, they won a World Series, I think, one time. And I don't even know if that's true. I think they only won it one time.
But the Senators won.
But here's the deal. Andy Pettitte went out there yesterday. He only allowed 5 hits and 2 runs in 7 innings. What does this guy do at home to train? He actually looks like he's gained 15 pounds. He's 40 years old. There were 42,000 people in Nationals Park yesterday, and it went 14 innings. And for some reason, we have a guy named Brad Lidge on our roster. And I'm guessing as soon as anybody gets off the DL, Brad Lidge may get released. Because he's done.
He's a veteran. But we're starting to see why Philadelphia didn't want anything to do with him anymore.
Well, if Philly doesn't want you, why the heck would we want him? The Blue Jays, you know, talking about another team that's had some severe bad luck, 3 of their starting pitchers are done for the year. I saw one guy pretty much throw the last pitch of the year for himself, Kyle Drabak. Doug Drabak's son, he's done for the year. So is Brandon Morrow. He looks like he's done for the year. And it's just going to be too much for them to compete in the East. Now, Toronto's not been that far back. They've been in second or third place most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Look for them to fall back.
Yeah.
Along with the Baltimore Orioles, who I keep saying is going to fall back. But they've won 2 games in a row, and they won yesterday.
Yep.
They're winning on the road, too. As a matter of fact, their road record might be the best road record in the American League.
Yeah. I don't think Toronto is definitely back. They're 6.5 games back out of first, and they're 33-32.
And they're done. They're done because they've lost their starting pitching.
But do you think they finished behind the Boston Red Sox?
It's hard to say. You would think that the Red Sox healthy will come back, but I just don't see the personnel. And sooner or later, you got to start cleaning house in Boston. You got some guys that are not young there, including Big Poppy. You know, what are you going to do with that salary?
As everyone doesn't want to hear it, Youkilis is pretty much done.
Well, you know, he's done for this year.
Yeah.
Whether he's done for next year, he's not that old. Kevin Youkilis is, what, 32 years old? He's not by any means past the age where he can be effective. But this guy, when Bobby Valentine got there, remember how they just had a war of words for like a week.
They're not going to get along. So, there are so many locker room issues with the Red Sox that it doesn't surprise me.
Well, they can't let Ellsbury go. They can't let Gonzalez go. They can't let Pedroia go. Everybody else, I think, they can let go. They'd love to let go of Beckett's salary, but Beckett is actually throwing okay right now. You know, the problem that you're going to have with this Red Sox team is that their GM left at the right time. He's in Chicago now.
He's looking like a genius.
His name is Theo Epstein. Are the Cubs ever going to get any better? Probably.
Maybe.
No, they will.
And listen,
they're doing it with a small budget right now.
Yeah.
And they're doing it through the draft. They had a pretty good draft, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And the Cubs are in the right division to build.
Well, listen, yesterday the Red Sox won. You know, Leonard ended up winning. They won 4-3. And I got to tell you, this is a team that still can, for all intents and purposes, make some noise later on. The Brewers beat the Twins. I could care less about either of these teams. But this kid named Michael Fears had a great outing. And Ryan Braun hit two bombs. Now, he's a cheater, but I'm going to say Ryan Braun hit his 18th and 19th home run of the season. Put an asterisk next to those. St. Louis Cardinals scored three runs in the bottom of the seventh inning, and they beat the Kansas City Royals at Busch Stadium. And Matt Holliday, a blast from the last couple of years. He's healthy. He went 4-for-5, hit two doubles, a bomb, and had five RBIs. Holliday can carry a team when he's hot. We've seen him do it. Mm-hmm. This is a great player. He's been battling injuries. He struggled this season. But listen, if he gets hot, watch out for those Cards. They may end up running away with things. In Detroit, Doug Fister pitched six shutout innings, and he picked up his first win of the season. His ERA is 2-something. He struggled big time. Miguel Cabrera hit his 14th home run of the season. All of the experts, and I'm talking about Buster Olney, Timmy Kirkjian, all the guys that get paid to say this on a regular basis, think Detroit's still going to be on top in the Central when it's all said and done. Roy, I don't know so much.
I had Detroit at the beginning of the season, and now I just
the don't. White Sox are not
they're
bad.
They're athletic.
Yeah.
The Detroit Tigers are a very, very athletic baseball team, as is the Texas Rangers, where they're just athletes. They're going out there, and they're big men. They're strong guys. They're jacking balls. And I'm sorry. And it's not a very it's a very odd thing to argue there. That, anyways, and they're very athletic. They're very athletic guys.
We call that a brain fart where I come from. Hey, listen, let me talk about the Pirates real quick. AJ Burnett and the Pirates.
You got me right.
Traveled to Cleveland, beat the Indians.
Man,
you got it right.
You are one pathetic loser.
Hey, AJ Burnett. The Yankees got rid of him, right? Well, he's 7-2 now, and he's one of the best pitchers in the National League. Where was his stuff when he was wearing pinstripes?
Yeah.
The rubber game in Cleveland is today at 105. By the way, Ubaldo Jimenez.
That's my boy. I had him.
And who, as far as we know, still hasn't found that little toy license plate with his name on it. Got the loss to make him 6-5 on the season, and everybody hates this guy for some reason.
I love that guy.
Anyway, the Baltimore freaking Orioles shut out one of my picks yesterday. Thanks, Baltimore. I took the Braves yesterday at home. Brian Roberts, who just came back after, what, 2.5 years of a concussion? Basically, that's it. He went 2-for-4, had 3 RBIs. They won 5-0. Jason Hamill pitched a one-hitter. And he came from Colorado Rockies, where he was okay, but he wasn't great. Look what he's doing in Baltimore. Yeah.
The Orioles, they're looking genius, getting rid of their old ace. I don't even remember his name.
It doesn't matter. You're talking about the lefty.
The guy they just traded away, and they got all these, and then they just flipped it over, and they went young.
No, they did. And I got to tell you something. The Orioles are going to be around because this, say what you want about Buck Showalter. He is a winner. He's not the most interesting guy I've ever met. I don't even like him after what he said about D.C., but Buck Showalter is doing a great job in Baltimore, which basically means Angelos is probably firing him in about 2 weeks because he did that to Davey Johnson. Pinch hitter Johnny Gomes hit a 2-run bomb at the bottom of the seventh. Give the Oakland A's what they needed to beat the Padres. What a surprise.
If you guys want to join this conversation, it's 240-317-7294. That's area code 240-317-7294. Reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports, or on Twitter, #BHSports, and I'll try to watch my mouth this next
And talk segment. About sportsmancave.com. We'll be back.
When
in
we
a
come
minute.
Back, I'll talk about what we did.
We'll be back,
weekend.
People. Happy Father's
what
Day.
I think about everywhere I go. But sometimes, honey, in the morning, oh, I miss you so. Now, that's how I know I found.
Once upon a time. time. You dress so fine. Do the bumps of dime in your prime.
Hey, you.
And then you.
By the way, he's a great songwriter.
I saw him live a couple years ago, and it was awesome being there and like watching him. Like, this is awesome. But at the same time, it was terrible.
Let me tell you,
so bad.
Yeah, but listen to me.
So old.
Listen to me. When Bob Dylan is great is when he's on with other musicians who are very good, and they sing and play his music for him.
He was so bad.
He just sits there, and they turn his amp all the way down and turn his mic all the way down, and looks like they're having a great time, the band.
I mean, it was awesome seeing him, you know, and he was playing all his old songs, but you could not understand a word he was saying.
How does it feel?
And he's so old, and he doesn't hit that note anymore. He's not like, hey! You know, he's like,
how does it feel?
Of course, I hit the note perfectly.
You don't even have to sing good to sing his music. I mean, yeah. All right,
and
well,
he was like,
that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. I'm going to smack you. Hey, listen, and another released loser for Bruce All Sports yesterday. Look, I don't only take credit when I'm right. I take credit when I'm wrong, too. The Reds, that's right, New York Mets fans, behind Homer Bailey, beat the Mets 4-1. John Neese pitched fine, but you guys scored one damn run off a guy that couldn't throw a strike for 2 years. The Mets host a very good pitcher in Johnny Cueto today of the Reds at 1-10 at home. Great place for the ladies to take your man for Father's Day. Also, for the kids to take their dad. To make matters worse for the Mets after getting Jason Bay back a couple of weeks ago, he runs into the fence with his head diving, suffers a concussion, and looked like I did back in my college days after being at happy hour for 4 hours. Being carried off the field. Don't mean to make fun of his concussion, but
was that in the R.A. Dickey one-hitter?
No, absolutely not. This was yesterday in a loss, if you paid attention.
Somebody got hurt in the R.A. Dickey one-hitter.
That doesn't matter.
Running into
that
a wall.
That was a long time ago. The Texas Rangers scored in the bottom of the sixth inning yesterday and got all the runs they did. They got 5 runs, beat the Houston Astros, who we'll talk about Matt Cain's perfecto here in a minute.
Yeah.
But they were... They're not playing too good right now. Nelly Cruz hit his 9th bomb of the season. That's not a lot of home runs for Nelson Cruz, which leads me to believe like he's going to have a hell of a second half for Texas. He had 3 RBIs. Justin Grimm, who is one of these really good young pitchers that Texas has, made his major league debut for the Rangers, and he got the win. And that's good for Justin Grimm. The Red Sox, behind the pitching of John Lester, beat the Cubs 4-3 in Wrigley. Jared Saltalamacchia, who used to be a Texas Ranger, had a double and a home run. 2 RBIs led the Sox. But here's the bad news for the Red Sox, for all you Red Sox fans that can hear my voice now. You're 7.5 games back of the Yankees. Yeah. Look for that to become 17.5 in the next 2 months. Let's talk a little bit about the games today, Roy.
Yes, sir. Well, we got a... The Yankees Nationals, I guess, is the big game for this station.
Guess who
we'll
took
say.
In this game?
I'm going to say he took the Yanks.
I took the Yankees. You know why? I just think the Yankees are going to do it today. I really do.
And complete the sweep.
Well, you know what? He's undefeated on the road. Nova is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just got a great performance out of our guy. I just don't see it happening again. I really don't. Let's go over all of these. Pittsburgh's at Cleveland. Pass. Pittsburgh's been winning on the road, by the way.
Yeah.
If you hate Cleveland, take Pittsburgh. Colorado Rockies are in Detroit. This is one of my plays. Scherzer's -165. Take Detroit.
And there's that guy pitching for the Rockies who was the guy that I couldn't remember.
Jeremy Guthrie. He was a 2-time All-Star for Baltimore. Signed a big deal as a free agent with Colorado. You want to know what he's doing? 6.91 ERAs, 3-5 in Colorado. But
making Baltimore look smart.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. Everybody in Colorado has an ERA over 5, so it doesn't matter. Kyle Kendrick with the Philadelphia Phillies. Chuck Cecil, that's not his name. It's actually Brett Cecil. The lefty for Toronto. Mm-hmm. I took Toronto, and I'll tell you why. They need to get every win they can. And a lefty did throw yesterday for them. And he handled them. I look for Cecil to do the same thing. That's a pick game, by the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that
now,
game.
Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, Chen against Delgado with Atlanta. I'm trying to get even here. I took Atlanta.
I'll take the O's.
God, I hate you. You're probably right the way I'm doing it. Nova Jackson, I took Nova.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll get my Washington Nationals a win.
I'm going to play the homer here and say Jackson, but in the back of my mind, I see the Bronx Bombers all over the Nationals. I do.
You know what? They're just the Yankees.
The Yanks are hot.
Are
right
starting
now.
To play ball.
They're hot.
Now listen, Steve Swisher pulled up yesterday. Looked like he hurt his knee or his ankle. You know what he did? He slid home and was tagged out, and his knee went over the bat, and somehow or another, I mean, it just jammed up his knee a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see if he even plays today. I doubt he will. They'll probably sit him, even though he's a good from the left side. He really is. Josh Johnson is in Tampa Bay. I wouldn't touch this with your money. I'm going to pass on this game. Even though Josh Johnson's starting to get it back, he's 8-5. The team is. His record's 8-5 this season. He's got a 4.27 ERA. As of late, he's got a 2.61 ERA. But Miami, generally on the road, they're just okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass on this game.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Greinke, who at one time everybody was saying was like the greatest player in baseball, they're on the road in Minnesota. If you're going to bet a road team today, bet this game. Take Johnson, -140. Or -130 or 20, wherever you are, in Minnesota. Because Minnesota put a run together not long ago. They won 8 out of 10 games. I think that's over with. I don't see them doing anything.
I just got a text. Nick Swisher with a thigh bruise. He'll sit today versus the Nationals. Andrew Jones is going to start.
Well, we were all over that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't even need a trainer to call me for that. Because watching him walk away was painful for me. That's how I walk normally, by the way. You know what? You know what's fun for me? To run out to third base. That's my cardio. I go from the dugout to third base. When I have a third base dugout, I do somersaults out to third base. Kansas City, Mendoza's going to 215, but Adam Wainwright's -180. Now, if you're scared of big numbers, this is a good one to pass on, but I took the Cardinals. You know why? Two words, people. Matt Holliday. Matt Holliday puts hits and home runs together.
Yeah.
He'll put 2 weeks together and make the All-Star team. That's just, he's only hitting like 270 right now. Look for him to be hitting 320 by the All-Star game.
I like the Cardinals.
And you know what? As much as I don't like Mark McGwire, he has done a great job as a hitting coach there. And a guy that's as buff, you know, as Holiday and probably a gym rat like Holiday, I bet him and McGwire pump iron together. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do other things together. Conspiracy theorist Bruce Hall. Houston pretty much sucks. They're playing at Texas. Texas has got Lewis going. He's starting to throw now. Last three or four games, 1.50 ERA. Texas is 2-1 favorite. Take them anyway.
But they're without their big guy. Hamilton,
yeah, but it doesn't matter because they're so deep on the bench.
I know that. I just wanted to throw that out
and
there.
And you know, yeah, I know. You're right. And he won't play today. I think they're off tomorrow. He may play Tuesday. The Arizona Diamondbacks.
They go to San Diego tomorrow.
Yeah, which is everybody gets well there. Arizona. Kennedy starting for the Arizona Diamondbacks today against Richards. Now, Richards has been pitching his rear end off. The Angels have looked very good as of late. I'm taking the Angels against Arizona here. Arizona's still reeling a bit, even though Justin Upton looks like he's waking up. I'll tell you, but Arizona's not Arizona last year. Arizona was like start to finish last year. They went wire to wire after May last year. I don't see that happening this year. You know, take the Angels here. And I like the Angels in a pretty big play here. San Diego, whoever they're playing is going to beat them, but I'm leaving it alone because it's Oakland. You know, Bartolo Colon, who looks to me like Jabba the Hutt, he's got 12 chins, people. How does this guy pitch? Well, it just goes to show what Sonny Jurgensen said, who was a Hall of Fame quarterback for the Washington Redskins. I don't throw a football with my belly, boys, so quit talking about it. That's a true story, by the way.
I believe it.
Chicago White Sox, who in my opinion are overachieving this year.
Well, Adam Dunn woke up.
Well, yeah.
Back from the dead.
Well, they're paying him $13 million a year. Thank you for waking up.
He finally stopped counting his money and decided to play baseball.
Quintana is starting against Capuano. The Dodgers are reeling. This is a pick game.
Yeah.
I got to pass.
Yeah.
Because you got to like the Dodgers at home.
Yeah.
Plus, Kemp's back. I think he played yesterday.
If you force a gun to my head, I'm taking the Dodgers, but I wouldn't play that game.
I'm taking Magic Johnson. That's who I'm taking. You know, if Magic shows at the game, they win. Did you know that they have hardly lost when he's been there? San Francisco, my team in the National League, besides the Nats, against my big boy, Hernandez, who looks like his career is suddenly not what it used to be. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I feel like that's where careers go to die out in Seattle.
Well, you know what? Yeah, but you know what? They beat my Giants last night. I don't see it happening because he's a righty. I see the San Francisco Giants beating these guys today. You know what Hernandez's ERA is the last three games? 7.41. That's Tim Lincecum light. Oh, and the Giants are like 2-12 when Lincecum pitches. They're like 16 games over 500 when everybody else pitches.
He'll come around, though.
No, you know what he's going to do? He's going to come around to the bullpen.
Big time Timmy Jim? You're going to send him to the bullpen?
Hey, I got something real important. This is super important. Everybody write this down. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS.
WFAS.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to get into some Father's Day.
We got two more games to go over.
Things that were touched right after we talk about the Red Sox.
Boston is at the Cubs. How can you ever take the Cubs? But if you're going to take them, take Paul Mahalan. This is a guy that Pittsburgh got away from Pittsburgh because they couldn't afford to keep him. And I kind of like Mahalan. You know what? This is a night game, too, tonight. This is ESPN's game tonight. Boston at the Cubs. What were they thinking? You know what they were thinking?
Well,
they were thinking the U.S. Open is in San Francisco and everybody's going to be watching golf till midnight. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And there's only one game that is not an interleague game today. Johnny Cueto goes up against the Tick. My wife named him that. Mr. Young. From the New York Mets, 6'11", and his head is smaller than yours, Roy. He's 6'11". My wife calls him the Tick. I think the Reds will beat the Mets today. I hate to say it. I love the Mets, but the Mets are reeling just a little bit right now.
They're starting to.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm taking Cincinnati because Johnny Cueto is an all-star pitcher. 7-3 ERA, 2.46 in games he's played. They're 9-4. And in the last three starts, 2.28 ERA. Now Young hasn't played badly, and the way that I'm going with my luck, he may win, but I'm taking Cincinnati. Now let's talk about a couple of things. I'm looking on here right now. Kenny Griffey Jr. hit his 500th home run on Father's Day. How special is that? That's unbelievable. Barry Bonds, a guy I hate, hit his 748th. How can I say this? Steroid-induced home run on Father's Day 2007. His dad was already dead. So, you know, I'm sure his dad was real proud in heaven. And that's it. That's pretty much it. Ryan Zimmerman hit a home run on Father's Day in 6 and 7. Jeez. We should get a week and maybe Ryan would hit the ball better. Let's talk about the U.S. Open. I love golf. I'm a big-time golfer. I take people to the Masters. And by the way, if you want to go to the Masters in 2013, go to brucehallsports.com. Send me an email. I will send you back my Masters package for 2013. I don't care what you do. Practice rounds, one day, 2 days, all 4 days, golf. You know, everything included, nothing included, badges only, complete packages, give me a call. And my 800 number, by the way, it's 1-800-466-4748. That's 1-800-466-4748. That's Bruce Hall Sports. It's what I do. This will be my 28th consecutive Masters next year. And if it's anything as like this one was this year, it's going to be a humdinger again. It really is. Let's talk about the U.S. Open. Tiger Woods turned everybody's head for 2 days.
And then he fell off.
Well, he fell off a little bit because, and from what I understand, and I haven't looked at the replay because when I got home from coaching a baseball game last night, it was like 11:30. And I went to bed so I could get up at 5:30 and prepare for my show. And that's what I do. But Tiger's not out of it because we're talking about the Olympic Club with 4 days of greens that are just getting harder and harder. Mm-hmm. They probably double cut everything. They probably double cut the fairways. It hasn't rained a drop out there to this point. And Tiger generally plays pretty damn good when everything is tough like this. He knows how to work the ball. From what I understand yesterday, it was two or three things happened during the round that caused him to fall off and shoot a 75. He's four over, but he's only five strokes back of the lead.
Yeah, only two guys are under.
Listen, I've already picked Roy. You and I were talking about this today.
Yep.
Let me read off, you know, who is in the lead. For that, you got Jimmy Furyk in a tie with Graham McDowell. Graham McDowell and Jimmy Furyk are two excellent golfers. Both have major wins under their belts. They both know how to win. Graham McDowell, for all intents and purposes, and Jimmy Furyk for the last 1 to 2 years, since Graham won, I want to say Graham won the British Open 2 years ago. Graham McDowell hasn't played that well. And you know what? Neither has Jimmy Furyk. Frederik Jakobsen.
I love that name.
Let me tell you something about Frederik. Frederik Jakobsen lives in Orlando. He bought a house there 3 years ago. I know. I actually talked to his caddy one time in the Masters. He's right there.
Yeah.
Frederik Jakobsen is long off the tee. He's very accurate, and he's a good putter. You got to keep him in the mix. He's from Sweden, you know, which means he's got a hunk for a wife, and she's blonde. All right, this guy, Nick Kolsertz.
I don't like that guy. I told you before the show, I hope.
Nobody likes him, but you know what? Expect to see him close until the back nine.
Yeah, because he lays up. Now the guy plays the smart golf.
Here's the guy that needs to win. Who is Lee Westwood? Lee Westwood is due.
You said you liked him before the show.
I liked him before the damn tournament started. Yeah. A guy that's probably going to fall off, Ernie Els. You know, Ernie Els hasn't been this close to a lead in a major since the Masters 2 or 3 years ago. Ernie was on the leaderboard in Augusta on Sunday for a brief time. And Ernie, he doesn't put it together anymore. And you know what? Ever since he had his knee injury in a pool, okay? It was in his pool. I don't know how you get a knee injury in a pool, but he slipped, turned his ankle, fell in the pool, you know, was able to swim out. God knows we're proud of that. But, you know, I watched Ernie Els win the U.S. Open at Congressional 10 years ago.
It's a good story. If he can hang on there, it's going to be a good story.
Well, you know what? Ernie spends so much time, he and his wife, with their charity for autistic children. Nobody in the world is bigger than him in raising money for autism than Ernie Els. And I shouldn't say that because there's a lot of guys that do. Boomer Esiason does. So many kids have autism. It's unbelievable. But Ernie's right there. He's plus two. If Ernie puts a front together, watch out. Because Ernie Els can putt. I'm telling you. On his deathbed, he will two-putt. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? This kid, Hostler, you know, 17 years old. He's one stroke better than Tiger right now. he actually had the lead for a brief time on the second day of the tournament. A 17-year-old high school kid has a chance to win the U.S. Open. Will he? I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't put my money on it.
John Sendin's right there. Duffner is a stroke ahead of Tiger. Jason Duffner, Auburn War Eagle. Now, Auburn, as everybody knows, had that terrible tragedy last week.
Yeah, the football team.
Where a bunch of kids got killed.
Yeah.
And there's still a kid in critical condition that may not come out of it.
And that's a feel-good story there.
It is a feel-good.
So if you want somebody to root for.
Yeah, root for Jason Duffner. Because I can guarantee you the entire War Eagle family is rooting for
Absolutely.
Jason Duffner. And I guarantee you he's wearing blue and orange today. And I'm telling you, he'll look like Ricky today. He'll have so much orange on today, he'll look like Ricky. And if he doesn't, it's because he doesn't like to wear orange. Because that's the only reason he wouldn't do it. Listen to these guys that are tied with Tiger. How is this for four guys? Tiger Woods, Retief Goosen, Martin Keimer, Matt Kuchar. All four of those guys can win this tournament. And I'm predicting that not only will one of those four guys win the tournament, I'm throwing another guy in. It's not Kevin Na. It's Hunter Mahan, who is 6 over par. Hunter Mahan is one of the few guys on this list that can put a 65 together. Tiger's one of the other ones.
Where's he at right now? 27th overall?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's had a great year. Hunter's won two tournaments this year.
Yeah.
There's only three guys that won two tournaments. Guess who one of them is? That washed up Tiger Woods. Jason Duffner's the other guy. Those guys can all play. And then after that, you get down to the plus five. Patty Harrington, you know, I don't see Patty putting it together. He doesn't putt well enough. Casey Wittenberg's playing with Tiger. You know, he's 5 over also. Justin Rose, Charlie Wee. David Tom slipped from the leaderboard to 5 over. Sergio Garcia, 5 over. Kevin Na, 5 over. Adam Scott, 6 over. Mahan, 6 over. Schwartzel, who won the Masters last year, 7 over. KJ Choi, 7 over. A lot of guys are not going to be there. But look for – this is going to be like the Preakness. Remember when the Preakness, all the long shots had hit?
Yeah.
I see a long shot hitting. Not necessarily a long shot from who he is, but where he is. And I don't see – I'm going to tell you what's going to happen right now. With the leaders here, Jimmy Furyk finishes – 5 over. Graham McDowell, 4 over. Jakobsen, that's your worry. He could be even par, 1 over. We hate Cole Sertz, so we don't care.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Westwood.
Laying up.
Westwood shoots even par, he wins the tournament. 2 over. I think 2 over is the number. 2 over is the number that's going to win this tournament today. Unless somebody comes from behind. Now, I got to tell you something. I love the U.S. Open because it's the same day as Father's Day Sunday every year. And we used to be at the beach. We'd play in the morning. We'd go home. We'd hang out on the beach for a little while. And then we would show up and watch the last 15 holes of the leaders. Get with your dad. If you haven't talked to your dad in a long time, give him a call today. I just say, listen, my day is made. If I died right now in front of you, Roy, don't give me mouth to mouth. It doesn't work. And I don't want you to kiss me. But what I do want you to do is call my son and tell him how much I love him. Because I sent him a text earlier today and said, Davis, I love you. And he sent me a text back and said, I love you, Dad. And I got to tell you something. I don't care. I've lived my life. That's all I care about. My daughter tells me she loves me all the time. She's such a sweetheart. My oldest daughter has told me she loves me. There's nothing stronger and more fun and more heartwarming than family. And there's a lot of people out there that don't have family.
Mm-hmm.
Be their family. Reach out to them. You know, say hi to them. If you know somebody's lost both their parents, say hi to them. You know, be that person that does something really good for somebody today. Because if you can't do it on Mother's and Mother's Day is like an event. Father's Day is different. Father's Day is a little lower key. We generally all get together, fathers, and do something sports related, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or we just lay down all day long and watch TV. I'm going to go coach a baseball game. I'm going to have fun. There's going to be a lot of dads there.
I'm playing a softball game tonight.
Where are you playing? Are you playing in Annandale?
Right, yeah, in Northern Virginia.
Fairfax County's talking about. What's the name of your team, Roy?
The Boomsticks.
You want to wish all of their fathers a happy Father's Day? The Boomsticks.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of. Did you think that up?
It was my team name. Yes.
That is not a surprise at all.
Who
are you picking to win the U.S. Open?
I'll go with Hunter Mahan.
You like him, don't you?
I like. He's part of the young guns. I like all those guys.
You go with Hunter. I'm going to go. Everybody's going to laugh at me. Hunter Woods. Tiger Woods to win his first major. In a come from behind fashion. I'm Bruce Hall.
And before we get out of here, I just want to give my number one father child. It was Muhammad Ali and Layla Ali. So
we'll see you next week.
There it is.
Take care. Happy Father's Day.
Will you come with me? God damn, will I be glad? Have you seen the light? Their walls are built of cannonballs. Their motto is Dolce on me. Come.